We are reading this morning text 14. I sincerely regret that I'm a little later than expected, but at the moment I must tell you very honestly, I'm happy that I can sit here at all. It's Krishna's mercy. So I'm very grateful that I can be amongst you. Please forgive me. Sometimes things are beyond control. Satasmin deva sadhana.
Satasmin deva sadhana.
Asino yogamastita.
Asino yogamastita.
Pratyaritendriyagramo.
Pratyaritendriyagramo.
Yoyo somanatmani.
Yoyo somanatmani.
Satasmin deva sadhana.
Satasmin deva sadhana.
Asino yogamas kita.
Asino yogamas kita.
Pratyaritendriyagramo.
Pratyaritendriyagramo.
Yoyo jamanatmani.
Yoyo jamanatmani.
I think because we are so late, I thought not going into the translation. This continues the story of Ajamir. As you know, Ajamir had become very fallen. He was a Brahmana, but he had done an unholy act and had become very fallen. He had become a robber and a murderer and everything else. But at the time of death, he called out the name Narayan. He had his son Narayan in mind, but he chanted nevertheless the powerful syllables which in the Sri Sampradaya are said to be the Taraka Brahman, that is the sound vibration which can give us liberation from material existence and bhakti to the Lord of Vaikuntha. So he was again revived to life by the service of the the Lord, and then he went to Haridwar. He took up a second chance and he became he took shelter at a Vishnu temple. This is what we build here now. In Haridwar, Ajamir took shelter at a Vishnu temple where he executed the process of Bhakti Yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. The devotees who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement may live comfortably in our many temples and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus they can control the mind and senses and achieve the highest success in life. This is the process descending from time immemorial. Learning from the life of Ajamir, we should vow with determination to do what is necessary to follow this path. It seems very often that someone who takes up the path of Krishna consciousness in all seriousness does so after a frustrating material experience or after seeing how useless this life really is without Krishna consciousness. Very often, the scenario which we find here becomes typical, or you could say archetypical, for a person trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. Ajamya. He had lived a useless life. He had totally given up his Krishna consciousness and had become something we don't even want to talk about in public. He saw, after some time, his blindness was removed. You know, that is when he had this near-death experience, and he saw that actually the Yamadutas were coming to take him to hell and punish him for his things, so his wrongdoings. When he saw that, very, very clear, he first of all, he chanted this name of Narayan. That was the beginning of an awakening, you can say. The very, very little beginning is called Sukriti. Some Sukriti came his way. That is, some benefit came his way. And then, after, and that's very important for us here, after the Yamadutas had disappeared, and he was given another chance, he actually decided enough of this life. He was at that time around 84 years old, I heard once. And he said, I just cannot and do not want to continue my miserable fly-like life any longer. He had it enough. He had it, and he left this unholy association with the prostitute. He left his whatever children were there, and he said, I've done enough. Like I said, can't keep on this life. And he went actually to become a temple servant in a Vishnu temple in Haifa at the banks of Mother Ganga. Now you will see many spiritualists have this time of awakening. To mind comes at this stage personality whose life I have described in the little book The Art of Transformation. It's the greatest of our personalities in our Rupa Nuga Vaishnava line. It's Srila Rupa Goswami. It's described that due to circumstances he had actually become a servant to the Muslim king, and it's very difficult for me to describe Rupa Goswami. It's very painful to my heart to describe him, and you must know why he had become the servant. The king, Navapusen Shah, said, if these two brothers, Santosh and Amara, I believe, are not becoming ministers, I will kill each day a couple of brahmanas. So they should become ministers. Help him to rule this country. And in order to avoid this bloodshed, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami agreed. It's not that they wanted to become ministers. They were more or less forced into it by this impossible Muslim ruler. Now, once it so happened that the Muslim ruler called for Rupa Goswami in the midst of the night. Rupa Goswami immediately, it was raining, it was really raining. those of us who were fully know what rain means in India. It was really rain. It was a time when you wouldn't really consider to go outside. So Rupa Swami knew it's not so important, you know. Maybe he has a new plan to do psychological maneuvers, or maybe he's frustrated after trying to have sense gratifications with one of his ladies and so on. You know, it's not so important. He doesn't really need me at this time. But at the same time, he knew he had to appear at the court of the king. So he came out, and there was a palanquin, and in the midst of the night, it must have been 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you know, it was raining. He was carried in a palanquin through the mud. You did the sound when you walk through mud. For those of you who have not yet walked through mud. Now, there were 10 pikesmen with him, pikesmen, Lanzenträger, as guards. 10 or 11, 11. They were guarding him, and he was just there, and he was tired, and he wanted to do puja in the morning, and I wanted to read the Bhagavatam. So he passed by a hut, and in this hut there was a poor couple living, a washerman and his wife, you know, his wife who was also a washer in the dhobi, they say, in dhobi cover, the dhobi cover, etc. And the wife was hearing the sound, shluff, shluff, and maybe some sound of the pipes. And she asked her husband, who in this time of the day could be outside walking through the fields? The husband was very tired. You know, he said, what is it to you? Why are you asking? It's either a mad dog or a slave to a materialist. One of the two who walks in the midst of the night through a field of mud. Shlimp, shlimp, shlimp. Now, Rupa Goswami heard this. It's either a mad dog or the slave of a materialist. He heard this from a simple, you know, simple people, dhobi people. Dhobi means washerman people. And he cried. He said, Krishna, you have given me the sign. This is what I am. Hare Krishna. And a very strong sense of renunciation awakened in his heart. Not that the sense was not there, but you know, we hear from the saints or the sadhus, this is not a sadhu, the Rupa Goswami is a eternal liberated soul, but they give such, through their life, they give such teaching. These great personalities want to teach us, my dear devotees. So that we also wake up. So Rupa Goswami came to that. I think he attended the court, or only attended the meetings. But next day he was gone to Vrindavan. Vrindavan Jai! I go to Vrindavan. I always like that. This is, my dear devotees, every spiritualist who is a true spiritualist, the most of the time have such realizations not one time, but several times in this life. What am I doing? What type of compromised life do I live? Look at me. What have I become? I'm totally in Maya. I identify with the body and the mind. I cry for Maya. I'm an illusion. How long do I want to live this type of life? This is not one time when we join, but again and again and again, the Lord has to wake us up. Yesterday I spoke with one very nice devotee about this. The devotee was telling me how the Lord had made an arrangement like this in his life. He did not intend to come to a devotional gathering, but then this one devotee calls him. This devotee never calls and said, "You are coming to the devotional gathering." No. And the devotee didn't want to go, said, "Of course I'm coming." Because he understood immediately, Krishna is calling me. I'm so lazy now. I am so spiritually unactive now. I'm so in Maya, but now Krishna calls me and gives me a second chance. I'm coming. My dear boys, if you are very attentive, you will see that Krishna does this many times in our life. When I give such a class to younger devotees, the younger devotees all go, "Yeah." And the older devotees, why are older devotees in Krishna consciousness sometimes so covered? This is my question this morning. What happened to us, older devotees? Krishna, if you are attentive, will send you everybody. But if you don't want to see what Krishna arranges, you say, "This is for the young devotees to see what Krishna arranges." You will never see Lord Krishna's arrangement. You will remain on the mental platform and on the material platform, and you will lose your opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. But after such way up course, it's very important for a devotee to take lesson from this role model, Ajamil, and see what he did. In Haridwar, listen again to the shloka, Ajamil took shelter at a Vishnu temple where he executed the process of bhakti yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. And it's very interesting. This is such an important point, these two points. Controlling the senses and absorbing the mind for a change. It's so important that the Bhagavatam, which usually does not repeat its statement, it is saying the same thing, mana atmani, the next verse. Tatu, please listen carefully, because it will give you two very powerful tools in your hands, how you can make sure that after the call has come, and after you have responded to the call, you don't fall back into your old patterns. Deine alten Muster. Das ist noch nicht so gekommen in die alten Muster. Tato gune vyatmanam vijujyatma samadhina yujuje bhagavatamni brahman yanubhavati Atmani. Translation. Adavya, fully engaged in devotional service, repeated. And now, again the repetition comes. Thus he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. The word samadhi is here used, which is really a deep absorption. And I would like to read you the purpose. If one worships the deity in the temple, one's mind will naturally be absorbed in thought of the Lord and his form. There is no distinction between the form of the Lord and the Lord himself. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga is the most easy system of yoga. Yogis try to concentrate their minds upon the form of the Super Soul Vishnu within the heart. But the same objective is easily achieved when one's mind is absorbed in the deity worshipped in the temple. In every temple there is a transcendental form of the Lord, and one may easily think of this form. Please look at this moment of Lord Jagannath. You will need it in 5 minutes. By seeing the Lord during the arati, by offering bhoga, by constantly thinking of the form of the deity, one becomes a first class yogi. This is the best process of yoga, as confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api sarvesham madgadena taratmana sharavan madhade yomam samayukta samumata. Of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga. And is the highest of all. From all the yogis, the one who is worshipping Krishna in transcendental love is most intimately united in the highest yogi. The first class yogi is he who controls his senses and detaches himself from material activities by always thinking of the form of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So, let us please learn the great prophet, what Ajamir did, to not come back in his old life. You know, when a conditioned soul is trying to change himself, he may make an external change, but and nothing happens really internally. This is a great danger, this is a great problem which spiritual teachers are aware of, that they may be able to uplift their audience who tries to learn from them for some time, but very often they go back in their old patterns of thoughts and living. It is the most frustrating thing for a spiritual teacher really to experience, how he tries to work day and night to uplift the people who want to learn to a certain level, but then they snap back into the old ways. So that this doesn't happen, two things must be done. The first thing is one must a person who learns, a learner like all of us, we must learn to control a little bit our senses. But the more important thing is that we must learn to positively engage our mind and think of Krishna. And here I'm returning to my subject matter from yesterday, the subject of deep absorption, only if you absorb your mind will you be able to benefit from the process of Krishna consciousness. While I was in Puri, I saw one scene which I will write about this scene, which I want to relate to you. It's an example of how two people, they are not really benefiting from Jagannath Puri, from the Jagannath Car Festival. There was the Lord this year made his journey in one day, which I heard is extraordinary fast. He went from Puri, from the main Mandir to the Gundisha Mandir, and the cars were parked just before the temple. And so they spent the whole night there, the deities. They were lovingly taken care of by their Daityapatis, their servants. And then our group, under the able guidance of Radhanath Maharaj, came in the morning, we came at 4 o'clock in the morning to the cards to chant our rounds. We sat down on the asphalt. It was not yet warm, it was pleasantly warm, and we were sitting and chanting while looking at Jagannath. It was a very nice japa period. We chanted, it was really very, very peaceful. Although we were tired when we started, we soon forgot our tiredness, and we were chanting. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden or something, I saw a scene which I first tried to not see. Then the scene was continuing on, and because I'm unfortunately very sensitive to atmosphere, I felt almost like forced to see the scene. And then when I saw the scene more, I started to cry. It was a scene which really was shocking me very much. Not so much because of the people who were involved, but because I could see that Lord Jagannath was showing me something which also disturbed him very greatly. This was the scene. I looked, there was a lady from Orissa, middle class. She had, like all the people had done, she had slept during the night before Lord Jagannath. That's what the people of Orissa do. They feel, we are now together with our friend, and we now sleep with him. You know, sleep with him means, with him, that's when this means something which I don't mean. He sleeps there on the chariot, and we sleep here. And we, like Rangini did with her children, the last day was, how many days ago? 3 days ago, last day of kindergarten. And they all, Rangini is taking care of the kinder, of the children. She's a kindergarten expert. And she makes, at the end of the year, with the children, one day they all stay in the kindergarten and all sleep in the same room. Just as a, adventure for the children. And they laugh all the night and hoo-hoo, and maybe they talk about ghosts and such things. It's like an activity where the children should remember the times of the kindergarten, and it should be a pleasant memory. Now they will go to the school, kindergarten stops for them. So So, and they like to be all together in a sleeping bag, and then they try to sleep, and it's a thing. So, the people of Orissa also, they like to sleep when our Jagannath sleeps, and you know, once a day it's alright, once a year it's alright. No one can sleep in the temple otherwise, but here, you know, and this lady was just waking up from sleep. Now then I looked, there was one pujari who looked at the lady and was obviously interested in the lady for, you know, in a material way. Now I saw this, I couldn't believe my eyes. And he wanted to give the lady some tulsi so that some relationship started. He take some tulsi and then some talk. But the lady was highly afraid, and she was looking for someone to help her in this embarrassing situation where this man-made advances towards her. So advancement, was looking, and you know, I was there, and I looked at the pujari straight into the eyes, and I said, Jagannath sees you now. the man felt he wasn't doing everything right. He felt guilty. But he said, I'm a Westerner. You know how the Indian think, we are Westerners, and we don't understand the subtleties of a real spiritual life. Anyways, after some time, the lady got helped by an Indian person. I said to an Indian person, now you please take care, this is not good, it's right, we follow Jagannath, it's too much. So I saw this, and this after 5 minutes, it was over. You know, it was this one. But then I became very shocked, because I was thinking about this situation. Here was a man. He was right before God. But he didn't have eyes for God. He only had eyes for, you know, my activities. And then I didn't feel angry at this man, because anyways, there are restless all over the world. It's not that he visits the world. If you expect good people here, you are at the wrong place. What disturbed me so much, was not the problem that which this man had, but the problem which I had, because I do the same thing. I'm right before the Lord, but my mind is somewhere else. I didn't think it was the problem. I was thinking, here I have a problem. And the Lord showed me my problem. That's what he did. He showed me this is what unattended devotional service means. And now you see, I'm showing you this by using my pujari. It was not a high posted pujari, you could see this man, a very low class expression of his face. It was not a spiritual effulgent personality. The Lord showed me, not that I would criticize the people of Orissa, whatever, I can only be there for a few days, but let them do what I cannot influence their life. But I saw that this is what unattended devotional service means. This man should have been a pujari of the Lord in some capacity, and here he was doing something else. His body was there, but his mind was somewhere else. And my dear devotees, I was so shocked because I could see this is what happens so often in devotional service. We absolutely must learn this, to be internally chaste. It's not enough for us Krishna devotees to be dressed in dhotis and to do our routine service and so on. We must learn to place our mind at Krishna's lotus feet. There are a few quotations, and those who like quotations, I think they will love this. It's in the 11th chapter text, 11th canto, chapter 14, text 23. There is a standard of devotional service, and I notice it getting a little late and you have to do all the service, so I will come very quickly to the end. It once has, do not stand on end. How can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? This is a very strong hint towards the goal of Krishna consciousness. The goal is absorption. The heart, the mind must absorb. And this will show by ecstatic symptoms in Krishna consciousness. How can a person's heart be purified without the ecstatic devotion that causes his hair to stand on end, his mind melting with love and tears flowing from his eyes? My dear devotees, I want to ask you, be practical. How will you change and become something else than what you were if you do not have ecstatic devotion for Krishna in your heart? I mean devotion in the language of the Bhagavatam, where your hair stands on end, when your mind starts to melt with love, and where tears flow from your eyes. How will you change? What is your practical program? You will continue to cry for Maya. And you will continue to be in anxiety. You will have your psychological condition which you had before you came to Krishna consciousness. Maybe you will feel even more insecure because you have not yet found a Vanashram situation in your life. It's highly important in our process to know that this absorption in the mind is something which must be aimed for, and which, I would like to say this with great seriousness, must be practiced. There is in the Gita there are statements how you practice your mind. It's basically, it is said the mind is like a river and it needs two embankments to flow nicely. So if you want to have your mind going in a spiritual way, the embankments for you are, you must practice some detachment of material life, and also you must abhyasa yoga, you must practice actually thinking of Krishna. You must practice. You must start every day. Then your mind will become different and your life course will go in a different way. I want to now come to the end because time is also there. I want to bring now two points. Some of you, I know, it's not all of the Hare Krishna members, but some of you like to practice spiritual, spiritual practices. So here are six practices which are given for those who follow a path of worshipping Krishna, where they want to control or absorb their mind in Krishna. The first thing which a person on this in this line does is he offers obeisances. My devotees, my life has changed since I offer obeisances. I'm not a good devotee, but one thing I've learned is whenever I come to the temple, the first thing I do is I offer my obeisances to Prabhupada and then to the devotees of the temple. And I do it very purposefully by inviting them in the mind. And the last thing which I do in the temple is I say, thank you for keeping me here. I'm not worth to be here, but you have invited me. I hope I could do some service. If not, I will try better the next time I come. And then I say goodbye. I say first goodbye to the deities and then to my spiritual master. And I say, I see you soon in the next temple. And then I obviously also the car, you know, the pictures and the sing our Guru Vandanam prayers and the travel. But offering obeisances, very good. Second, offering of prayers. This is how to become absorbed. Huh? The root of absorption. The third, learning to offer the fruits of all activities. For instance, when I come to a temple, I say very purposefully, my dear Lord, I'm very grateful that you have given me a day of service. Please accept what I do today as my humble endeavor to serve you. Please accept this. I'm very conditioned as a Vilma. You know what to expect from me, but I will give my best to offer now my activities for your pleasure. The fourth thing to become absorbed is to offer your services. I think doing services for Krishna. The fifth is remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. That is to think of Lord Krishna, of his pastimes. I always make sure that during the day I start to think of Krishna. That is not always easy because I meet so many materialistic people in a day, and they all have their own vibrations. But in Prem Bhakti Chandika, I got a verse yesterday that said, as a preacher, one should be very careful to not, become affected by the minds of other people. So for that, one needs to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. And the last point, number six, is to hear topics about the Lord. The moment I'm hearing about Lord Jagannath and the book of Jagannath. And this I do every day, and it helps very much that the mind becomes Krishnaized more and more, and then one is very absorbed and happy. I want to now end my class by telling you the end of my cliffhanger. Those who like lectures were yesterday at the lecture, and I told you about the life of Kunashikar. I will not be able to give a summary of what we told yesterday, but I will tell you how the ministers finally thought we were trying to keep this king in office by giving him sadhu sangha so that he would regularly hear the shastras. But whenever he hears the Ramayana at the wrong place, he runs and mobilizes his army. This is too much. And they had now made a plan so verunglimpfe, was ist verunglimpfen in Englisch, the blessing the Vaishnavas. So they had stolen a wonderful necklace of King Gunashikha's deity, whom he worshipped every morning. And they had said, the only people, my dear king, who could have stolen this are the Vaishnavas. Because only the Vaishnavas have access to the deity treasury, to the ornaments. You know yourself, the key is only with the Vaishnavas. We, no one of us knows where, how to enter the deity of the beloved man. How do we say in English, Prabhupada? The deity forearm? The deity room, yes, the deity room, the room before the altar, the deity room, yes, deity room, we say. King Kunashika heard that his ministers had dared to say that the Vaishnavas could have stolen the beautiful necklace of the deity. He became very grave. And he said, if this is true, then I shall die. If it is true that the Vaishnavas have stolen an ornament of the Lord, then on this day I will die. Bring me a cobra, a king's cobra. Put the cobra into a vessel, into a clay pot, and I will grab with my naked arm into the hollow of the hole. And if it is not true that the Vaishnavas have stolen, then the cobra will not bite me. If it is true that the Vaishnavas have stolen, the cobra will bite me. Would you like to make such an experiment? Hare Krishna. Uddhavati, you are the most boldest amongst us. The queen said, I think, you know, we were not even want to come close to a king cobra. They are so poisonous. You know, it really doesn't make any sense to grab. You know, they are highly agitated to be in a small, constricted space. And then if something comes into their life, you know, they go, no, this was not what we intended. The minister said, it's all right. No test is required like this came. How did they say that they had stolen the ornament? And by the way, King Kunashika was already fully determined. He would not have, he could not be stopped. So they got this murderous device, a king's cobra trapped in a clay pot. King Kunashika put his arm fiercely, his arm inside. Nothing happened. He waited. Nothing happened. Took his arm out. People were wondering, was that a cobra at all? All of a sudden, a cobra was standing there, proving that the Vaishnava had not stolen. So, Kinkula Shikar never remained the same afterwards. By now, his ecstatic love for Krishna was so great that he could not remain in the kingdom. He also couldn't remain the ministers who, just in order to serve their purposes, were blaspheming Vaishnavas. So therefore, he gave the kingdom to his oldest son, and he left with his daughter for Sri Rangam. King Kulashikar engaged himself in menial service of the deities, but he also wrote many beautiful prayers which he recited daily before Sri Ranganath. His daughter was actually in marriageable age. She was a beautiful princess, but the daughter wanted to be married to Sri Ranganath. She was married and served him for a long time. Kulashikar chanted his prayers, the Mukunda Mala Stava and others. And one of these prayers is a prayer which Srila Prabhupada often chanted. It's a prayer in which you can best understand the urgency of a devotee who is absorbed in Krishna. Krishna Tvariya Padapankaja Pangarantam Adyeva Vishatu Manasarajahamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantavaro Maramido Smaranam Kutaste. It's a beautiful prayer, and often when we saw Srila Prabhupada alone in his room, he would chant this. My dear Lord, King Kulashikar says, let me actually die immediately, because now my mind is healthy, I'm strong, my body is not plagued by the derangement of the bodily humors. It means there is no disease, no despair. Now my mind can play very nicely under the stems of your lotus feet. It's a poetical analogy. I can think of you, another word. My mind can think of you. But when the time of death comes, then I'm older, then everything will be very difficult, because the physical body will be in disorder and affect the mind also. So what this really is a prayer for absorption in Krishna consciousness. A prayer by which the devotee really wants that his mind is with Krishna. And with the lectures yesterday and today, I wanted to encourage you in this line. Yesterday after my lecture, two devotees came to me, very nice devotees who had listened very attentively, and they said to me like, oh, we really needed to hear this. And I answered to the devotees, I wanted to make a point which I felt was very necessary. See, I'm giving lectures in our movement since several years now. I'm becoming old in this movement. And I have often seen devotees coming to me after lectures and giving me a feedback. And when I get a feedback like I got yesterday, when I got it in the past, the devotees always meant, well, now I really have to change my life. As we have heard today, if you wish to change your life, you need to be aware of two areas, like Ajamil, a previous sinner, who now became engaged in devotional service in Haridwar, in the temple. He took care of two areas, absorbing his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna and detachment from material activities. These are classical things. They appear in the Gita, these instructions, and everywhere. I would like to tell you, please practice appropriate renunciation. That is, see where you are at this time of your life and live the life within your your service, your life, where you are. Just do that. But whenever you come to spiritual practices, it means when your school stops, your Ausbildung, your profession, your engagements, when this is over, then let it be over, and then engage in good bhajan. Do something which then you can really absorb yourself. That's the idea. We all need to go through our lives. I always see it. I talked yesterday with an older devotee about this, that you can't suppress really the things which you have to go through and learn. You can only go through them in Krishna consciousness, purify your existence. But most of the devotees who come to our movement are devotees who have a gradual process of purification, and this lies ahead of them. But that can only work that when you do your spiritual practice, that you are really 100% there. Learn to close a door to the world when you do your spiritual practices. And then you are 100% there. You will see how after, when you then practice appropriate renunciation, after some time your life will change and you will become a very wholesome and realistic spiritual person. Hare Krishna. So, I'm sorry that I went a little over time. You were very kind to me. These days I'm only half here. I'm still struggling to arrive and become healthy. Thank you very, very much. I want to now see. We have 9:30. It's a little late. And I'm not Rohini Sutta Prabhu. I'm not so qualified to go. How do I deal with such a pujari who has he has shown me something with a shock, in a shocking way. Well, I personally know that whatever happens in the Holy Dham
has different layers of reality. And because I'm a pilgrim, I prefer to stay on the layer of reality where Krishna shows me something. He said, when you go to Vrindavan, everything which happens is arranged by Srimati Radharani. Now, there are gundas in Vrindavan. Gundas means robbers who steal your money. They said, Jayade, give me your money. So, a pilgrim thinks that he wants me to throw it up or to be dead. But a policeman in Vrindavan would think, how can we get the good at? The ordinary policeman in Vrindavan said, how can I get a bribe from the Gurdas? Religious politics, they are very good policemen in Vrindavan who will think, how can we take care of this crime thing? So they deal with this on another level. But as a pilgrim, what can I do? I will surrender my rupees to the Gunda. I mean, there's no point to do anything else, you know. You can try chanting Jairadi, Jairadi. They will chant louder than you, Jairadi. They have also more advanced than you. So it's necessary to deal with reality on different levels. So that example which I gave, where I saw one person who was right in the Holy Dharma, who was absolutely thinking on something else than Lord Jagannath, I prefer to deal with this on that level where I see Lord Jagannath shows me that I'm like that person who shocked me. He showed me a mirror. Sometimes you have to deal on two levels at the same time, then it's getting complicated. That is, on one level you understand it's Krishna's arrangement, on another level you have to take care of, for instance, if you have a wound, let us say you have a kaletsang in your wound, then on one level you understand, this is Krishna's arrangement, and another level you put a plaster a bandage around it. The different levels of reality. That's a complicated subject, but as you go through life, you will see more and more of that. That makes it sometimes also difficult to say what is right and what is wrong, because on one level it looks like this, on another level it looks like that. Hare Krishna. Then it needs some wisdom to deal with this.
Parvati? You spoke that we should take lessons from role models. And so I was thinking, how is it that my liberated souls and Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and go also, it seems that they really go through stages of realization, that they also could experience. How one can explain this?
Let me be very clear that I understand your question. We should take the example of great souls who are like role models. And then you said it seems that they go through different stages. So that is then the question, which example should we follow when he was on stage? In this stage, should we follow this example? Or when he was on this stage, please explain that, please tell that.
It seems that they not only give us examples, but they themselves those vivid experiences, like real experience such as humility or like I read on the commentary that it said that also like really to liberate the soul for the spiritual virtues.
Das ist jetzt nicht gerade richtig so ausgedrückt. Ja.
It seems that they develop in their spiritual life like this.
That they develop in their spiritual life.
They can make experience and they develop like we are on the lower platform and then we develop more and more spiritual life. I think.
I believe the reason why I can't understand because I think in a different way here. My thought, I had a paradigm shift 5 years ago that from a liberated position there is no question of conditioned or unconditioned. Just like for the sun, there is no day and no night. This is so when a great soul comes through this world, then I believe that he goes through a life, it's all so to say arranged for him by Krishna. It's all a divine package. It only appears to be like our experiences. Now, it's not that I'm saying, giving an answer which is called hagiography, that means every act is holy of a great soul. This is not what I'm thinking in my answer. It has to be holy, otherwise he wouldn't be a holy person. This type of logic which you will find very much in people who glorify other people, even for things which are not to be glorified, which are just he did a mistake. No, I think the whole life of a person, like for instance Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is as a package arranged for him by Krishna. There are some phases before he became a Vaishnava, about his diet and so on, which we may even not like to say when we go to a vegetarian congress, so on. But for me, this is all an arrangement of Krishna. These are very, very dear to Krishna. And Krishna lets them go through this experience. And I have come to see my own life like this also, more and more. I personally I'm trying to see everything in connection with Krishna life, even my mistakes. It doesn't mean that I don't try to correct the mistakes. I very much have the duty to correct the mistakes. But I feel this is what Krishna has given in this life. I go through this. And it's all good. It's all right. It's all his plan. It's all under his control. That is my mission. And therefore I have difficulty to understand what you claim the question. But now that I have given my own standpoint, my own view, I want to get away from it. And I'm sorry to give you a good answer which satisfies your inquiry or the level on which your inquiry has been made. We often hear that the Lord has a very particular purpose with his devotees. When you read, for instance, the Prema Vilas, it's a very important book for Chaitanya Vaishnava. It describes the times directly after Mahaprabhu's appearance. It starts with an earthquake in Puri. Mother Bhumi knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will soon disappear. And she's, in so much pain. There's earthquake, and it's such an earthquake that houses crash. The question is, how will the love of God at which Mahaprabhu had distributed so freely, how will it be distributed? And then we hear the next thing that Mahaprabhu has thought about this, and he has designed three devotees whom he has not seen in his earthly pastime, who will distribute the Prema Bhakti, that is Shamananda, Srinivas, and Narottam. And then the book describes how each of these great souls are getting the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Prema Bhakti. You know, Narottam Das Thakur took his bath, and then Mother Kanta gave him the present of love which Mahaprabhu had stored. And each one is described like this. Their experiences. Srinivas Acharya's story is the most heart-rendering. How he wanted to learn the Bhagavatam from Gadara Pandit. Gadara Pandit had this one volume of the Bhagavatam, but it was full with tears. No ink was there any longer. Then Gadara Pandit told him to go back to Srikanda to get a copy, and he got it from Narahari, who was also very old, and then he came back with a copy, and then he hears as he enters Puri, Gadara has just left. You know, this story is really, there are many things like this who happen. Rupa and Sanatana have just left when he wants to go to Vrindavan. And there's these types of stories, and what to learn from them, I think, the way eagerness to be to get for the goal. I'm not sure if I answered the question. This is as good as I can do this morning. Please excuse me. Davina, that's the answer. I'm afraid of going wrong. Probably you might get better by that about it.
Yeah.
I think in English, because then
after the long yaga yesterday, you were telling us that when we chant the holy name, that we should let Guru chant through us. So could you please explain a little bit what this means? Because I have some imagination, but I don't know really, you know, what it means.
Good that you asked this question. Ravina understood yesterday that I said that when we chant, we should that the Guru chants through us. No, you don't have to chant. I gave an example yesterday from one person outside of our tradition, Krishna Das, who says when he sings, it is not him who is doing it. He cannot take any credit, and you will see when you meet him, he's very humble. He's really genuinely humble about this, about other things maybe not, but about this, that it's not his glory. He was ordered by Ninkaroli Baba to chant with the Westerners the Hare Krishna mantra. He didn't want to do it, but he had no other choice. He did it extent people like it and start chanting, good. These are philosophically speaking Mayavadis, and for them the Guru is everything. The Guru is God, and so on and so forth. And they have this understanding, which is philosophically, or they have a different philosophy than us. For me, it was important to say that his realization was that in order to come to the position where he can sit down and chant, and he says this is a holy act, he has to try a little bit to be in the shape, and that's to do his sadhana, something which as an undisciplined person he doesn't like to do. And this is what he told me. He's not a good man of discipline. But he knows I have to do it, otherwise I can't sit there and let my guru do. What we as Vaishnavas know is a point which is very, very, which has to do with the guru or with great souls when we chant. The Padma Purana says that when you think about a great soul, 1% of his qualities will come to you. And Vyasadeva comments, this is a yoga point which Patanjali, which comes up in his commentary to Patanjali Yoga Sutra. He says, if we think on someone who has controlled his vrittis, vrittis means thought waves or desires, then also will feel that we are able to control. That's why great souls are always very important, and we can access them, we can have access to them even now, therefore we do chant and we think of Haridas Thakur his example, and we may even have a picture of Haridas Thakur, and we think of his example of great determination. Even at the time when he was leaving his body, Mahaprabhu came to him and he said, I hear you're very ill, and he said, my disease is I can't finish my rounds. You told me to finish your rounds. You're Haridas. You're ill, and then Haridas said, my Lord, I only have one desire. My heart pains, because now I know that you will leave very soon, and I know if you leave before me, I cannot continue. So therefore, allow me that I leave before you. Mahaprabhu looked at Haridas, and he knew the time had come, and he placed the lotus, he gave Haridas his lotus feet, and he placed it on his chest. And by chanting, there are many devotees. But it is more than beautiful in this collection. So we think of Arish. And some quality of determination will come to us as we think. I always say this in my lectures to the outside people, because everyone is so anti-authoritarian, as you know, they don't like to submit to authority, people of this age. And I want to tell them how it's good to have great souls and examples and so on. I tell them, you remember your teenager days? You had pictures of film stars and what else? Che Guevara. You most probably had Che Guevara. No, I had Che Guevara. Rebellion, New Society, and so on. And then if you think about these people, then you feel like that also. You get strength from this. It works on the material. certain way, why should it not understood? This is why teenagers want these pictures, because they now want to leave their families and assert their own individuality. They need some support from Che Guevara. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to explain the principle. So this is a subject which is dealt in the Yoga Sutras by Patanjali, also in the Padma Purana. So therefore, we do think of our spiritual master when we change japa, after all the beats that she has given to us, we are initiated in this, and we do think of him, but not that he chants for us or through us, we chant. Hopefully, with full all our mind, soul, and our feelings. Yeah, Hare Krishna, all this video, wirklich lang, naja, man, du wirst doch an den Tempel, Persönlichkeit, die kannst du nicht zulassen, so spät. Also, we will have your question, it will be the last question, and I will be very brief.
Maharaj, yesterday you spoke of King Kulashaka who was going in the water deeper and deeper, and then Vishnu came to save him. And then you say, you speak about this verse that the Lord will always protect his devotee, he will never let them perish them. I understood this verse that, I don't know, that he will protect their spiritual life, but they will not protect his, their bodies, and I'm a little confused now. What means this verse? Because like...
How will the Lord protect his devotees?
Nobody will perish, the spiritual is eternal, so what means the verse? He's protecting
My devotee will not perish.
Nobody will perish.
Nobody says anything. Nobody will perish. No one dies here in this world. We are all eternal. Correct. The devotee, as a devotee, will remain intact. It may appear that the devotion of a devotee is even maybe sometimes covered, but it will come out again in a old style. In other words, when it says the Lord protects his devotees, it means he protects really the devotees as what it means to be devotees. You know? But we have seen that sometimes there may be an unusual development. A very good example which I heard is given in this connection is King Chitraketu. He became apparently a demon. Vritasura, apparently. I mean, he was serious. He was fighting with the Devatas. He was kicking them. I mean, not just a little one, two, but he was devout. Few hundred thousand at once, you know. Hare Krishna. And then you see at the end how he was despite the curse which went over him for some time, his devotion came forth when he chanted this shloka, my dear Lord. When will you call me back as your servant again? And it means he has not perished, even when he was Vritasura. Nayana Bandhu, Vritasura. I have a speculation. You're not allowed to speculate, but I have a speculation. I have learned that whatever is in the middle of an important work is very important. Like, for instance, the shloka Manmana Bhavamat Bhakto comes in the 9th chapter, verse 34. So that's very important, this shloka. Krishna has placed this, a commentary, right in the middle of this, of the Gita. The 18th chapter, that's in the end of the 9th chapter. Right in the middle. So, this is in the 6th chapter, the story of Vritasura. And in the Garuda Purana it says, the Bhagavatam is known for this story. In other words, it's something which gives it a special quality, the Bhagavatam, this particular story. And what I personally see, and this is my own thoughts on it, I have not read this anywhere, but I have to just edit what I have learned about placing things in the middle of the scripture, that this story is very, very important for the conditioned souls of this world. And I would really urge you to read the story of Chitraketu in the Vritasura and his transformation at the end, where then he prays these prayers. Wow! This really shows you what the Bhagavatam, in my understanding, one main theme, that is the transformation of the conditioned soul. That is very much there. Of course, we must say the main point of the Bhagavatam is Krishna, that is explained in the opening. This is also about Krishna, you know, he's a devotee of Krishna. Krishna! So I want to thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful time. And I thank you all very much for putting this blissful Ratha Yatra festival. This was my first festival in Zurich after 3 or 4 years, where we could have a wonderful festival in procession. And it was not the rain like last year. Everything was swept into the Zurich festival. And so this time we were generalized. I heard one devotee pray, trying to put this festival up for you. Now every year you have just ignored our efforts and thrown us into the lake. Please, if you care a little bit, give some sun, please. And the Lord gave sun. Enough sun, not too much sun. I mean, it was really ideal. It was very nice, and I talked with many devotees who were very pleased of them. Many older devotees, all older devotees, I saw, almost. And very, very nice. Let us plan the next. What I think, though, is just as I, because before I forget it, please give it to someone who organizes it. I really next year would like to give a little speech about Ratha Yatra. Some nice talk. Don't worry. If you do it nice, you can say something which the devotees feel very inspired of. Maybe not nice. They feel closer to the Lord. Something for the newcomers. It's not too much. They like to hear and they like to find out. So a nice forum should be given for talking about Lord Jagannath, so that they can make a relationship to Lord Jagannath for people. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaurinitai ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi Nandi Go, Chaunya Satchinandra ki jai,